finding ways to introduce things to our students that really will be driven by their curiosity to know more and look for new problems and design different solutions. And so for me, that's really the heart of what STEM is about.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by my new free ebook, 10 Ways School Leaders Can Use AI Tomorrow. It's completely free, and you can find it by going to classtechtips.com/AI leader. Looking to bring a touch of AI magic into your school? This free ebook unpacks 10 ideas you can start using today, tomorrow, or at any point this school year. It includes quick ways to integrate AI into your daily routines, offering a handful of my favorite tips and tricks. You can try them out yourself, then pass along the ones you like the most to your teachers and colleagues. They'll certainly thank you for it. So head to classtechtips.com/AI leader. That's one word, no spaces. My website is classtechtips.com, then /AI leader. This week's episode is titled Unexpected Ways to Connect Literacy and STEM with Dr. JC Maslick. JC is an educational consultant and instructional coach, and we ran into each other briefly at the FETC conference in January, and I just had more questions about all the things she was working on this year. So she was kind enough to carve out time to chat with me today, and I can't wait for you to hear a bit about some unexpected ways to connect literacy and STEM. JC shares so many gems. I know you're going to love this conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I'm very excited to chat about unexpected ways to connect literacy and STEM. But before we jump into all of that, can you share a bit about your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
First of all, let me just say thank you for having me. I'm JC Maslick, and my role day to day is kind of different. So my primary role right now is that I'm an educational consultant. I do some instructional coaching and speaking. And so, for example, today is a home day. So I get to do all of the things that, you know, need to be done around the house with my family and my kids. But most of the time I'm on the road traveling, and I support schools all over the country in lots of different subjects, including STEM and literacy. And so it's been really fun for the last several years to just be able to get into different schools and work with great teachers and leaders and alongside really creative students around things like STEM and the connections that we can make to literacy.
Well, today we're talking about those unexpected ways to connect literacy and STEM. And so all of your work, your observations, all the different stakeholders that you talk to, like the ones you just mentioned, right? I'm sure inform the way that you might describe STEM skills. So how would you describe STEM skills to a listener?
Right. I mean, we think about STEM. Well, maybe we should say some people believe that it's not just STEM, you know, beyond the science, technology, engineering, and math. Some people add the A for arts, and others are even adding other letters. I've seen a lot of R's added for reading and robotics, and in some, you know, parochial schools, R is for religion.
Yeah.
So lots of different integrations. And I think at the bottom of all of that for me is just the appreciation for connecting subjects in meaningful ways. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that looks like, or whatever letters you want to add, it's moving away from that siloed way of thinking where I only learn science and science, and I only learn math and math, and finding ways to introduce things to our students that really will be driven by their curiosity to know more and look for new problems and design different solutions. And so for me, that's really the heart of what STEM is about.
And I love that anchoring and curiosity and problem solving and these things that happen not only in our everyday lives, right, outside of classroom settings, but throughout different part of a school day that might feel siloed just because it's period four or because it's 2 p.m. in the afternoon or whatever, you know, distinguishing factor makes it feel like there's one thing that we're doing. There's so many ways that all of this comes together. And, you know, often literacy and STEM can seem very separate. Can you share an example of a lesson or an activity that surprised you or maybe surprised even some of the educators you work with by how seamlessly it merged those two areas of literacy and STEM?
Sure. I mean, I certainly have a couple examples, but the one that I think is really clear in my mind actually was the work of a collaboration between an English teacher and a librarian. And the English teacher was really trying to drive home the point of perspective with her students and getting them to understand that within stories, you know, one character's perspective may be very different about a situation than another character. And so the librarian brought to her this book called Emma's Poem. It's a picture book, and it is the voice of the Statue of Liberty. Ooh. So it's thinking about things, right? We hear that, you know, the bring your weary, you're tired, right? But thinking about how the Statue of Liberty, what is her perspective? And so the book is a really cool way to show that to students. And then what happened that I think was just like the spark of wonderfulness was that kids then created structures of historical landmarks, right? Like whether it was the White House, somebody made Big Ben, the Eiffel Tower. So all of these different landmarks around the globe, they constructed them out of whatever kind of materials they had in their, well, we had a fabulous English teacher who had some of these materials in her space. She had a maker corner, but we also had a maker space where kids could get the materials that they needed to design and build these structures. And then they wrote from the perspective of that historical landmark that they created. And I thought, wow, I mean, the way that they pulled in both the historical context through social studies, geography, like where are these things located in the world, but then also that design element that we often see in STEM, where they were constructing things and using their mathematical thinking to figure out, you know, what material is going to work best or how do I put together something that looks like the Eiffel Tower? And so that was just one example. And that was a middle level librarian and classroom teacher. I think another great example is there's a cute little picture book. It's called Save the Bees. Mm-hmm. And I had a classroom teacher who was doing it as a part of just her read aloud. And the kids said to her, so the story goes, there are these two kids who interact with the bee and the bee's talking to them and telling them how important her role is in the environment. And the kids in the story are like, oh, well, we should do some things to help you, little bee. And then the kids in the classroom were saying, well, those are simple things that we can do too. Mm-hmm. And so they're thinking about things like planning certain things around the school grounds that can support the ecosystem that support, you know, bees. There are things that you can build using recyclable materials that are called bee hotels. And so the kids built those and they painted them to make them look fancy and hung them up outside in the school grounds. And so I love that example because it also tied in social action. Mm-hmm. So kids were just thinking not about, well, I'm going to build this tower because that's my assignment and I'm going to work with my team. And right. And there's value in all of that. But I think it's even more powerful when kids think about, oh, I can build something that's beyond me, that's helping my school community, my town, someone across the country, right? So I think some good examples there for that idea of a called up action or doing some social goal beyond yourself. And those were elementary kids. So I think that just goes to say, I mean, whether you're in kindergarten or 12th grade, there are opportunities that we can take our STEM skills and really leverage them to do good outside of the school walls.
I appreciate both of those examples. One, because I'm always on the hunt for good picture books. And I think that it is important to to see, you know, or to talk about the way that you could infuse that into a middle school classroom, right? Or into a high school classroom. And I live in New Jersey. And so every time I fly home like into Newark Airport and I like wave to the Statue of Liberty on my little ride home. We can see it not far from where we live. We always joke like, there she is, you know, like if we're in a part, you know, walking around where you can kind of see her. So that is going into my Amazon cart later for sure. But no, that's such a great point that you made too about just the authentic product, the communication skills, of course, the engineering skills that go with building something based on what you've read. So, you know, what do you think is the most underestimated literacy skill that actually unlocks success in STEM subjects?
I think that's a really good question. It's a hard one, but for me,
it's hard to pick.
For me, it's communication. And so when I talk about literacy, you know, when I'm going into schools and I'm coaching teams on literacy, they think I'm coming in to just talk about reading. Yeah. Which I get it. You know, we have kids who have deficits in reading and we need to boost those skills. You know, all the research says as much as we can before third grade. And I'm all on board with that. But I think we neglect the speaking and listening part. Mm-hmm. And we think that because we're talking to kids throughout the day or because we have a quick turn and talk in our classrooms that we've developed those skills. Oh, yeah. You know, we're doing speaking and listening. But I think if we don't focus on that with real intention, right, we need those skills as adults, no matter what job we have in the future. And I think we forget about infusing those. That really impacts a student's ability to function in a team, whether they can be a good listener or if they are taking a speaking role, perhaps as a leader in that work. It allows them to do things like politely disagree with their team in a way that allows them to navigate that collaborative piece. I don't want to say with ease, because it's never easy to disagree with someone, but it gives kids the skills to be able to do that, right? They have to take a stance on, well, you know, I believe that the project should go in this direction, or I believe that we need to use this material because it's flexible, or, you know, being able to give your opinion with a rationale, or things that we can develop in language arts.
Yeah.
That very much support the work that we do in STEM and STEAM classrooms. I think also, you know, underlying all of that, I go back to what we started with around curiosity, and kids have to be able to be asking questions and generating big questions around what they're learning, because I think that and in turn drives future study or future exploration. If they're saying, well, boy, why did you choose that for your design? Oh, I hadn't thought about that before. And so when we get kids communicating in lots of different ways, both in language arts, math, science, and all of the subject areas, I think it really shows how each one of those, it kind of like cross-pollinates all subject areas.
Yeah, I love just that emphasis on the written and the oral communication, because you're absolutely right. It's a part of all the things, right, that a student is asked to do. It seems like it's part of our everyday, but is it really an intentional, right, decision? Or is it intentional coaching? Or, right, what kind of modeling are we doing really thoughtfully around that? So, you know, I love that as an area of emphasis, you know, for a teacher who might be reflective of their own practice or looking for that type of integration. So, you know, there are a lot of times when we think about literacy as the reading component, like you mentioned, right, in addition to the speaking and listening skills. And science fiction and fantasy, it's funny because I often say, oh, I don't like that kind of movie, or that's not my kind of TV show. And then I'm like, but I watch all these science fiction and fantasy TV shows, whether I name it or not, right? But there are two genres that often deal with the futuristic technology. So it might feel like, you know, they have that STEM connection organically, but how can these genres fuel a student's imagination, curiosity, and be a springboard into real world engineering questions that they might have?
It's funny. I was going to use the word springboard. I think when we get kids to think about those futuristic pieces, it's an opportunity for design thinking and prototyping. And so for me, when we're getting into design thinking, it's putting out every idea you can to meet the criteria or to solve the problem. So it's that iterative thinking of what are all of the ways that we might communicate in the future, or that we might transportation might look very different. What are all of the ideas that you have around that? And getting kids to cycle through that, I think, is really helpful. And then taking it to a prototype where they're actually creating a model of whatever their idea was. Because I think there's so much value in the idea of quick prototyping where you're failing and failing and failing until you find the thing that works. Because there are so many kids who still, you know, I have two sons and they are 9 and 11. And I think there are times that they still get stuck in like, well, my first idea was my best idea, so it better work. Right. And we have to break them out of that thinking and realize that the more things that you try or the more times you fail at figuring out what doesn't work, it just means you're getting closer to what will work. And I think that's a hard lesson, especially for kids that are that age. Again, upper elementary, middle level, at least in my own personal experience. I think this also, though, creates a real opportunity to explore things around AI.
Yeah.
Right. And incorporate that into the classroom. And I know that there are lots of teachers out there who are doing that skillfully and finding really creative ways. But I think for other teachers, that's a scary topic or one that they're maybe a little bit hesitant to enter into. And so even if we just introduce some tools around AI that are connected to great books, I think that opens some opportunities for our kids that they hadn't had in the past.
And I think just that connection to what kids are hearing about, like the AI of it all, what they might need to read in order to wrap their head around like the future, even if it does feel here in so many ways, like a science fiction or fantasy book, is just such a great way to make a connection to experiences they might have during one part of their day. But just that now you can make something based on this inspiration, right? We are prototyping, we're holding something in our hands, right? Based on this level of questioning and this curiosity that we have. So I think that's just such a wonderful example of what's possible there. So this has just been full of resources and ideas for listeners, things that they can take back to conversations with their colleagues as they're planning and collaborating, you know, for the rest of this school year, the summer, the upcoming school year. But I want to make sure people know how to stay connected with you because you are just such a wealth of information and have really great resources for listeners who might want to dive in a little bit deeper. So where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Well, I would say definitely check out my website. It is steam-makers.com. But so I have a couple books out there. My very first book that I wrote is called Steam Makers, thus the website. And the books that I've written after that are kind of connected to what we've talked about today in that I had a speaking engagement where some teachers came up to me afterwards and they said, oh, well, that's great. Like you're talking about STEM, but we teach reading. Mm-hmm. And it was like a dagger to my heart. I mean, I was a reading specialist for a couple of years. And so I thought, oh my goodness, have I been kind of holding out reading teachers from this great work? And so I would say if your listeners found things that they resonated with our conversation today, they have to pick up a copy of my book, Remaking Literacy, which kind of ties it all together. It's the idea of bringing in STEM, STEAM, and maker education into our language arts classes in ways that can be really simple, like just putting some hands-on things within our language arts class. And it can also lead to bigger projects, you know, whether it's project-based learning experiences, or things like the prototyping work that may be on a larger scale, but the book has a lot of great ideas. And they can certainly find me on social media. I'm still on Twitter or X, right, at Dr. JC Maslach. But yeah, people can also email me at jcmaslach@gmail.com, and I would be happy to share resources with them or come to their school and do a little workshop.
Well, JC, thank you so much for your time and all of these gems that you shared today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you again.
I'm so glad JC was able to join us today. Let's finish up with a few key points to help make this EdTech easy. Use stories to kickstart hands-on STEM tasks. Combine speaking and writing with STEM for teamwork and critical thinking. Dive into sci-fi for imaginative prompts to spark real-world problem solving. Integrate STEM with other subjects to explore further.
Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Dr. JC Maslick, by going to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 264. You can also take a look in the summary or description area. So if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you'll see a link to the show notes. The URL or the web link will end with the number 264. If you click on that one, it'll take you out to a long list of resources to explore related to today's episode. This episode is sponsored by my new free ebook, 10 Ways School Leaders Can Use AI Tomorrow. It's completely free, and you can find it by going to classtechtips.com/AI leader. Looking to bring a touch of AI magic into your school? This free ebook unpacks 10 ideas you can start using today, tomorrow, or at any point this school year. It includes quick ways to integrate AI into your daily routines, offering a handful of my favorite tips and tricks. You can try them out yourself, then pass along the ones you like the most to your teachers and colleagues. They'll certainly thank you for it. So head to classtechtips.com/AI leader. That's one word, no spaces. My website is classtechtips.com, then /AI leader. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.